Fondation Radio. Our society has been wrecked by economic improprieties, political maneuvers, moral decadence, and debasing sociocultural practices. In the face of these vices, which have kept our society at the brink of collapse, constructive information remains the deal breaker. Join our formidable team of reporters on News Extra with incisive investigative reporting and analysis tailored to reshape our society and give it a moral face. News Extra is a production of the news service of Foundation Radio that uncovers striking societal concerns and demystifies them. Get the deepest understanding about economic, political, and sociocultural issues in News Extra. News Extra, your window to constructive criticism. Foundation Radio.
Hello, listeners of Foundation Radio. Welcome to another edition of your weekend magazine program of news, interviews, commentaries, and analysis. The program is News Extra, and it comes up the same day and time every week with your presenter, Mokun Johnny Nelson. Stay tuned. President Paul Biya is a respected leader in the world. That quote is not from me, but it is from the outgoing UN Secretary General Ban Ki-moon. That is what he told the press at the end of an official visit to Cameroon in June 2010. On the sidelines of the ongoing 71st session of the UN General Assembly in New York, President Paul Biya had an audience with Ban Ki-moon. While opening debates, this is what Ban Ki-moon told world leaders. I am quoting, "My message to all is clear. Serve your people. Do not subvert democracy. Do not pilfer your country's resources. Do not imprison your critics." End of quote. Cameroonians have been accusing their president, rightly or wrongly, of most of these do-nots, as pointed out by the UN Secretary General. Well, it is a good thing that Ban Ki-moon met Paul Biya in an in-camera audience in New York. We hope that he had the courage to tell Paul Biya some of these ills against people's rights and lives that he denounced in open plenary assembly. What is for sure is that all the leaders of the Central African sub-region are guilty of at least two of the accusations. How many times have they changed term limits to suit their personal aspirations? That is subversing democracy. Yes, Paul Biya has been in the corridors of power for many, many years, long before a majority of world leaders were born. He should have amassed a lot of experience. By his age, 83 years, common sense warrants that he should be respected by his younger world leaders. But if Mr. Biya stands guilty of not serving his people, subversing democracy, pilfering the country's resources, imprisoning and torturing his critics, then Ban Ki-moon's reading that President Paul Biya is a respected leader in the world may just be wishful thinking. This is News Extra on Foundation Radio. Priscilla Ninge had the assignment to monitor major news happenings of the week and now presents News Extra's Week in Retrospect.
On a gloomy note within the region, we'd report that two children had been swept away by heavy rains in Indamukong neighborhood in the city of Bamenda. A third boy was rescued. The sad trend continued in the region with the announcement that a 20-year-old girl had been arrested and is pending prosecution after stealing a 10-month-old baby and running away with it to Banjok in the central region of the country. In education, the Laureate Higher Institute of Business Administration, Lahiba Polytechnic Bamenda, signed a memorandum of understanding with the University of Bamenda to take up degree programs with certificates from the University of Bamenda. Nine other private higher institutions of learning also signed. Midweek brought more sad news as two children died after being buried by a huge mass of earth at the Alatini neighborhood in Santa subdivision. A third child was rescued. A Form 4 student of GBHS Nitop was also saved from being swept off by fast-running water provoked by rains at the Ntatru neighborhood. The Northwest joins the rest of the nation to celebrate the International Day for Peace under the theme, The Sustainable Development Goals, Building Blocks for Peace. A newborn baby was discovered dead in a plastic market bag in Ademeta's neighborhood in Bamenda. The week ended on a brighter note with a report that two alleged notorious bandits in Bamenda, who had been terrorizing residents of the Old Church and Bengi Road areas, were arrested. On the national scene, the President of the Republic, President Paul Biya, traveled to New York to attend the 71st General Assembly of the United Nations Organization. During the assembly, he addressed other participants in which he called on all world leaders to work together politically and otherwise to ensure that they achieve the Sustainable Development Goals as well as ensure security. He also reminded the international community that most of their agendas are promising but had failed to meet expectations. In the education sector, basic education officials from eight French African countries met in Cameroon to come out with strategies on how best to teach French and national languages. Communications Minister Issa Chiruma Bakary thanks the Saudi Arabian government for constantly supporting Cameroon in the fight against Boko Haram. The Minister of Small and Medium-Sized Enterprises, Laurent Serge Etundingoa, also urged owners of startup businesses to register their enterprises in managing centers that were created to help administrative and financial procedures. Some 15 motorbike riders were arrested and detained at the Bonanjo Judicial Police Station in Douala after confrontations with law enforcement officers. This was followed by the Littoral Governor Samuel Ivaha Dziboa suspending control checks on automobiles in Douala. A truck full of eggs, which left Bafoussam for Yaoundé, was impounded by local officials in Makenene in the central region. This followed a similar action in the same locality, but this time it was the table birds that were set ablaze. Out of the country, the U.S. President Barack Obama announced a pledge by 50 nations to take in 360,000 refugees from war-torn countries this year. At least 20 people were reported to have been killed in fights between rival rebel groups in the Central African Republic. There were also reports from universities in South Africa that they could gradually be shutting down as university students continue to protest against any fee increase for the 2017 academic year. Latest reports from the Democratic Republic of Congo spoke of continued violence and unrest with a burning down of two opposition party headquarters. The governor of North Carolina declared a state of emergency in the city of Charlotte as unrest over a police shooting of a black man continued. Britain, the European Union, and the World Bank announced a plan to create 100,000 jobs in Ethiopia to help tackle the migrant crisis. Survivors from a boat which capsized off the Egyptian coast left hundreds of people drowned at sea. We round up our week with sports, where we learned that four friendly matches had been scheduled between the Indomitable Lions of Cameroon and Mali, Kenya, Belgium and Tanzania. The Ivorian central midfielder Yaya Touré announced his retirement from international football. The under-17 female national football squad also left the country for Jordan ahead of the upcoming female under-17 FIFA World Cup. Turkish club Antalyaspor dropped Cameroonian striker Samuel Eto'o following a statement he made on social media that he was not being respected for his achievements because of his colour. Draws for the semi-final matches of the 2016 Cup of Cameroon were carried out with Cotonspor of Garoua pitted against Bambutus of Buda and Apejens Fou was to play against International Sporting of Douala. Those were some of the major events that made news this week.
Priscilla Ninge there, thank you very much for setting the pace. The Northwest region is considered by many as a land of social justice. Unfortunately, when it comes to land matters, this may be a far dream. Families have been torn apart due to succession disputes over a parcel of land that may not be up to a meter square. Villages continuously are at war over land disputes. Women have no rights to land. And recently is the phenomenon of land grabbing by the greedy rich. In all these, the women pay the price as captured in this report by Christopher Fogwe.
It is ironic that women, who are the veritable breadwinners or food providers of the vast majority of people of the Northwest region, are by and large precluded or traditionally restricted from inheriting or directly acquiring land, which is the essential factor in their farming. And when some women manage to surmount the odds and obtain temporary access to portions of land on which to grow seasonal crops, they are usually the victims of all sorts of abuses, prejudices, and injustices in the event that their plots become bones of contentions in any conflicts. It is common knowledge that here in the Northwest region, farmer-grazier conflicts have through the years been the sources of intractable, heartbreaking, and sometimes deadly confrontations that have warranted the intervention of state administrators, law enforcement officials, the judiciary, and barristers, to name just those. Unfortunately for women and smallholders of crop farms, the huge core of administrators, law enforcement officials, traditional rulers, judges, magistrates, and barristers are all too often more of a hindrance than guarantors of timely and fair justice. Most of the farmer-grazier conflicts originate from isolated cases where stray or unrestricted cattle encroach into individual farmers' plots and ransack the entire season's crop, leaving the plot owners, usually a woman and her family, in abject misery, penury, and potential famishment. When such unbridled encroachments by cattle into plots occur, to many women within an entire community, tempers flare up on a large and collective scale, and the infuriated women mass together, take to the streets, and head for the Fons Palace, divisional or senior divisional officers, premises or offices, or even send a delegation to Bamenda to present their grievances to the governor of the region. Last week, over 200 women in Binjung, Kambe, took to the streets to express their anguish over the destruction of their crops by the cattle of a certain Malam Jiheru, whose aggressive herdsmen and a herd of his cattle raided their farms. And while the cattle plundered the crops, the herdsmen, armed with knives and other lethal weapons, stood by, ready to challenge anyone who tried to stop the plundering by the cattle. This provoked the women's protest march. They decried the fact that year after year, their crops were being destroyed by cows at the Njinto farmland, and year after year, their pleas, protest marches, sit-down strikes, and all sorts of demonstrations before the state authorities took place to no avail. The women clearly suspected that there was some tacit connivance between the cattlemen and the state administrators, judicial corps, who paid little heed to their grievances when they raised them. Little wonder that one of the women's spokespersons is quoted as saying that, and I quote, "We know that there are administrators, traditional rulers, and even politicians here who kept their cows with Malam Jehero. We are telling them that if a lasting solution is not found, we will go traditional. We will go naked," unquote. Unconscionable as that may sound, I'm afraid that their demonstration may just be another episode of throwing water on a duck's back. After all, similar scenarios have been staged even more frequently and to more dramatic effect in Wum, in the Menchum, where farmer-grazer problems are even more preponderant and atrocious, and little has changed. It is unfortunate for the women farmers of Nkambe and Menchum, and for Cameroonians as a whole, that greed and the get-rich-quick syndrome has taken a hold of the mindset and the attitude of the elite, the traditional rulers, the administrators, the politicians, and party barons, to a point where they find it in their collective self-interest to work in complicity in the ongoing land-grabbing rat race that is sweeping across the nation and clogging our judicial machinery with thousands of pending land conflict cases.
The decrees, do you know that the International Criminal Court, ICC, has announced that land grabbing will soon be considered a crime against humanity? This pronouncement must have breathed down heavily on the necks of some business magnates and multinationals in Cameroon that have been in this illegal practice. But are these people really to blame, given that legal experts often find gaps in the 1974 land law of Cameroon, which seems to empower the rich to own land at the detriment of the poor Lanza Vela?
The chief prosecutor of the International Criminal Court, the ICC, Fatou Bensouda, on September 15, said in a policy paper on priorities in selecting cases that destruction of environment and land grabbing will from now on be considered as crimes against humanity. The decision by ICC shows that the age of impunity is coming to an end. Company bosses and politicians complicit in violently seizing land could soon find themselves standing trial in The Hague alongside war criminals and dictators. This pronouncement has been greatly saluted in most parts of Cameroon, where land grabbing has become the order of the day. But the irony here is that while multinationals and business moguls guilty of this illegal act will face trial in other countries, it could be the state that will be found guilty in Cameroon if the claims of some legal experts are anything to go by. They argue that the 1974 land law encourages the rich to grab land at the expense of the poor. There is therefore a need to completely overhaul this law so that it can listen to the aspirations of the majority of underprivileged people. Regrets about the procedure for obtaining a land title are rife. The process is fraught with so much bottlenecks and corruption that only the rich can really show proof of land ownership as provided for by the law. All land is government land is a section of the law that has greatly spoiled issues for the poor in Cameroon. So, to redress the sham and spare itself the looming danger, government must ensure that all land laws are secured. The laws should encapsulate all strata of society, transparency should be ensured, and the local populations informed on every activity and reforms being made. This has been lacking in Cameroon as land grabbing continues to take its toll on the poor. From every indication, it will be somewhat foolhardy to argue against the fact that government is the principal reason land grabbing has found its place in Cameroon, while the ICC aims at rescuing the severely disenfranchised and powerless people of the world who have been harmed by these rich land grabbers who claim to have government officials and politicians in their pockets at the expense of the various communities. The government of Cameroon must look itself in the mirror and act appropriately before trouble catches up with it.
This is the house beyond the hills and valleys of Bamenda. We bring you the best, lots of music, news, sports, and entertainment just for your relaxation. Foundation Radio. I like it. Foundation Radio, the voice of the voiceless. Foundation Radio, la voix de sans voix.
There are two ingredients to the question. First, the land ownership pattern. The land ownership pattern in Cameroon is different from one area to another, and therefore it is important to understand the situation and understand the empirical basis for the behavior of people. The land ownership pattern in the Northwest region is not the same as in some other parts of the region. And therefore, for anybody to litigate on land matters, it is important for that person to understand. And I say it is wrong for a senior divisional officer or a DO to expect that the migrants will have the same rights as indigenous people. So the second element that we have in there is that the people who litigate on land matters must be versed with the procedures and with the ingredients involved in the land issue. Now, if you have a DO who comes maybe from Yokoduma to work in Mbengwi, who has no idea that the land belongs to the indigenous peoples, he will not be able to adjudicate land matters effectively. I give the example. We are working in a community farm that is called Gindung. The community farm is where the Fon of Tugi settled and was given. That area was the Fon's farm. And the Fon's farm was the land where all the villagers would go and work for the Fon, so that the Fon would harvest crops. When the Fon migrated and moved to another area for development, where the palace is right now, that area was abandoned to graziers under the influence of the state through the award of what you call grazing permits. But grazing permits by themselves are temporary documents. They are not ownership documents. And now the Fon decides that he wants to protect the area because of the natural forest. It's a colonial forest. It is also a forest where you have medicinal plants. And because the cattle rearers have now put in all the animals to go in, they destroy the farms, destroy the natural resources and so on. So the Fon has allocated 78 hectares of this land for the community farm. So land issues can only be handled by people who understand the land problems. Now, going back to it, when we did a study with my PhD student on farmer grazer conflicts on how land issues are handled by the senior divisional officers and the DOs, we discovered that the problems actually lay at the level of the divisional office, where land matters were not appropriately addressed on equity basis. And so we find that it is absolutely necessary for this land settlement boards to be restructured, to be manned by people who have an objective view of the situation. We have also said recently, as we organize workshops, that it is absolutely important for all our administrators, DOs, HDOs, and other people to have training in development management, so that they have an idea about what it takes to develop. At that, there are three things that we need to understand, three E's: efficiency of the system, effectiveness of the rules, of the laws, and equity in the distribution of justice. Unless we do this, we are not going to find many, many solutions to our problems. And so we conclude that aspect by saying the Cameroon government has always asked people to work for peace. And we say, if we are working, if we want peace, we must work for justice.
It could not have been better said, Professor Ajaganji. He is the author of the book titled Why Poor People Remain Poor and the Revitalization of Rural Communities Through Integrated Rural Development. Anglophone prisoners like Jews in death camps. The fate of 19 Cameroonians arrested in Womb following riots that led to the burning of the military camp remains a dilemma. It should be recalled that the rampage started after a trigger-hungry military man shot dead a commercial bike rider, allegedly following a dispute over a girlfriend. Since then, justice has been delaying. That is the worry of Randy Josa in today's Situation Room.
Welcome to Situation Room. I am Randy Josa. In today's edition, Anglophone prisoners like Jews in death camps. Remember how Nazi German troops tucked Jews into trains and shipped them off to death camps in Auschwitz? That is exactly how 19 young Cameroonians from Womb were snatched from prison cells in Bamenda and bussed under military escort to Yaoundé under the cover of darkness, on the orders of a military judge. They have since been languishing in the notorious Kondengi prison, which in reality is a death camp with killers like TB, AIDS, hunger, skin and waterborne diseases reigning supreme. The Jews never knew why they were ever taken to Auschwitz. Neither do the 18 womb boys and one pregnant girl know why they have been taken away like war captives from their hometown and region to faraway Yaoundé. Analysts wonder why such a transfer of suspects from the Bamenda Highlands would be sanctioned by the government, whereas there exist competent military courts with jurisdiction in Womb and Bamenda. We ask, in whose interest has the military justice transferred the suspects from Bamenda to Yaoundé? Clearly, it is not in the interest of justice. It is not even in the interest of the governing majority Francophone elite of this country. The Holocaust survivor and Nobel Peace Prize laureate Elie Wiesel asked this same rhetoric question: in whose interest was the Holocaust? It was not even in the interest of the Germans. The Separatist Southern Cameroon's National Council, SCNC, and the Southern Cameroon's Liberation Movement, SOCALIM, described the move as an act by what they call the occupation forces of La République du Cameroun on a captured territory of Southern Cameroons. Is this not the same heavy-handed act that fuels Anglophone Cameroonian anger and frustrations in this marriage of convenience between the two Cameroons? How can the regime explain the displacement of people from one part of the country to be tried for a crime they committed in another part of the country where the judicial institutions exist? What explains this insensitivity to the feelings and cries of the people west of the Mongo? Haven't their brothers east of the Mongo read Professor Nkengong Nkengasen's Across the Mongolo? To the former, the transfer of the womb detainees to the Yaounde Kondengi concentration camp remains to this day a source of shock and astonishment. We salute the opposition SDF legislators for taking up this matter with the Interior Minister, René Sadi. They confronted him with two crucial issues on their plate: the mystery of transferring suspects to Yaounde and the land-grabbing ventures of the rich and influential Francophone Africa's billionaire, Baba Alhaji Dampulo. The latter has been tussling with the Isu people in Menchum, who would not surrender their land to the billionaire cattle and horse ranch owner, who, despite 31 years of business in Isu, does not really employ the sons and daughters of that peasant community, so the locals complain. The traditional ruler of Isu and several youths of his kingdom are now frequent guests to Bamenda, where judicial officers are endlessly grilling them for a matter that could jolly well be handled by the courts in Womb. That again is another puzzle. Minister René Sadi has promised to delve into the matter, so too for the Womb detainees in Kondengi. Yet, the Interior Minister claims he was not aware the Womb youths were transferred to Kondengi. Who can believe him? Well, the SDF parliamentary group leader, Joseph Banadzem, told the BBC that the minister spoke candidly, but it remains to be seen how much action he would take to uphold social justice in the case. The detainees include a pregnant lady who has no possibility to ensure the health of her unborn child by attending antenatal clinic. If Minister Sadi is unaware of her case, can his colleagues of justice and defense ministries feign the same ignorance? Are they blind to the banner headlines on newspapers on this matter? He must, however, be aware that this is not the first time Anglophones are being carted to Yaounde for martial court trials. It happened to former Supreme Court Judge Justice Nyo Wakai of late, the SCNC chairman for Ngalamfo, and several other champions of democracy and Anglophone nationalism. Many of them survived the harsh environment in Kondengi, but some died. Some came out of jail, eaten up by disease and too weak to live. Nazi Holocaust survivor Elie Wiesel survived the death camp when the Russian Red Army liberated them in 1945. He lived on to write 50 books detailing the evil man did to man in the camps. He was just 15 years old, like many of the womb detainees, when he and his father and other relatives were taken away in smoky trains. The womb detainees are in great difficulty, their families unable to bring them food and comfort. Their human rights to fair justice and proper feeding are being abused. They are being hurt by a military investigating magistrate, even without the luxury of lawyers. Yet, many of them are in high spirit. Like Elie Wiesel, they must keep the will to survive and wait in joyful hope for the day the prison gates will be flung open for them to walk through. I have been Randy Josaa. See you next week with another edition of Situation Room.
Randy Josaa, pathetic report there. What is for sure is that justice delayed may just be justice being denied. Yes, such acts against Anglophones really breeds frustration and dissatisfaction and may be fueling a time bomb.
There are people who can walk away from you, and hear me when I tell you this. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. I don't want you to try to walk another person into staying with you, loving you, calling you, caring about you, coming to see you, staying attached to you. I mean, hang up the phone. When people can walk away from you, let them walk. Your destiny is never tied to anybody that left. The Bible said that they came out from us, that it might be made manifest that they were not for us. For had they been of us, no doubt they would have continued with us. People leave because they are not joined to you. and if they are not joined to you, you can't make them stay. Let them go. And it doesn't mean that they are a bad person. It just means that their part in the story is over. And you've got to know when people's part in your story is over so that you don't keep trying to raise the dead. You've got to know when it's dead. You've got to know when it's over. Let me tell you something. I've got the gift of goodbye. It's the 10th spiritual gift. I believe in goodbye. It's not that I'm hateful. It's that I'm faithful. And I know whatever God means for me to have, He'll give it to me. And if it takes too much sweat, I don't need it. Stop begging people to stay. Let them go. If you're holding on to something that doesn't belong to you and was never intended for your life, then you need to let it go. If you're holding on to past hurts and pains, let it go. If someone can't treat you right, love you back, and see your worth, let it go. If someone has angered you, let it go. If you're holding on to some thoughts of evil and revenge, let it go. If you're involved in a wrong relationship or addiction, let it go. If you're holding on to a job that no longer meets your needs or talents, let it go. If you have a bad attitude, let it go. If you keep judging others to make yourself feel better, let it go. If you're stuck in the past and God is trying to take you to a new level in Him, let it go. If you're struggling with the healing of a broken relationship, let it go. If you keep trying to help people who won't even try to help themselves, let it go. If you're feeling depressed and stressed, let it go. If there is a particular situation that you are so used to handling yourself and God is saying, take your hands off it, then you need to let it go. Let the past be the past. Forget the former things. God is doing a new thing for you. Let it go. Get right, get left. Think about it and then let it go. The battle is the Lord's. Next, stop and think and appreciate God's power in your life for doing what you know is pleasing to Him. Yes, I love my God. He is my fountain of life and my Savior. He keeps me going day and night. Without Him, I am no one. But with Him, I can do everything. Christ is my strength. This is a simple test. If you love God and you are not ashamed of all the great things that He has done for you, send this to everyone you know. God loves you and watches over you every day.
I am Mokun Johnny Nelson, anchoring the program News Extra on Foundation Radio FM 100. We are live in Bamenda, chief town of the northwest region of Cameroon. Is Bamenda fast becoming a disaster zone? Have hazard constructions, occupation of water drainages and runways at times with the blessing of municipal authorities is now taking its negative toll on inhabitants of the city. The week was characterized by a number of deaths occasioned by flooding. Could these have been avoided? Lem Sandra Fomujang.
Taking a keen look and analyzing the events of the past weeks and even presently, we realize that so much has been heard about the disasters that befall children, either natural or man-made. Children are either being kidnapped, buried by earth soil, or swept away by heavy rains. These are some of the unbearing situations you would find this season, but it is much more unfortunate that children are more targeted than even the adults. Children who have been groomed to becoming success stories in future lose their lives permanently, either through their own carelessness or not. Given that we are also in a period where it is believed to harbor a lot of ritual activities, the vulnerable children are victims to kidnap and cruel deaths. But focusing on the natural disasters like the heavy rains and landslides that are swallowing up the children? It is really a call for concern. Is it the heavy rains that carried away two boys at Damukong Street, that on Tatru, or the landslides that buried three children with just one who luckily survived at the Alatini neighborhood in the Santa subdivision, and just to name a few? These are just occurrences in the Northwest region whose drainage system is much better than other regions, especially Douala, that is very flooded and known for poor drainage. It just tells that if caution and care is not taken and measures implemented to reduce or stop these unfortunate events, more lives are bound to be lost. It should be noted that children are so adventurous and so not very conscious of the dangers of certain activities they indulge themselves in. The aspect of playing football and other games in the rain is something many children enjoy doing. School children in particular are very daring, as they will want to cross very risky bridges or pass through running water with much velocity and speed, not minding they could be endangered in the process. In the following interview, you will better understand how daring some of these children are and reasons why caution should be taken.
Yes, actually, please, can you tell us what happened?
Yes, it was when it happened in Bongam branch. We don't mean to say we don't come up to school. How do we don't do it now? One, they come down our water, they come down this side. So now, me and my friend, we want to cross the water. Now, as long as we cross, now, me and my friend, we have this problem. We don't care how we don't do it, fine. We want to cross the water now. So my friend, now, when they were schooling, me and they never come out of school with him. We branch. Then now, we two now start, we meet another friend now. We start coming down that hill. We don't come down now. Once I cross the water now, we reach the middle. My friend tell me say when I boy, he tell me say my way, me fair cross. I wait. He tells the water, tell me say, if I want to say I don't want to come to school again, ma cross the water. As nice as you know, I know cross me the water. He tells me my pass, I pass. Come on with the water. I hear me advice. As come on with the water now, one see. So that girl so far get with it, so far get with it again, I pay weak get with it again, no beg power. They don't cross the water, they already show me the now. So with the other girl now, he no give power for back, we fat. He don't pass now. The other girl, that one I go up front. The other one I hold again, now we eat before he go back. Eat before, now he hold the other girl, now drag her back. So now the other one fall, all them two fall. Now the other one now we eat dry, he go now we hate for inside water. I see go now we hate inside water now. He come on, he succeed, he come on, then the third one I be go now back. We fall, back, we back. The one go in. Now he need now don't stop here now, we need to see the girl, we find now, we need to see.
So this picking now, picking from which school?
Was you in the top?
Which class?
From 4A.
In the slide, parents and teachers should take up the responsibility in ensuring the safety of the children by instructing them not to move or play when it is raining. It is also advisable for schools not to let open the gates for children to leave the campuses while it is still raining heavily. In this way, a lot of children will be safe, given that some of these kids who run into trouble are simply misled by their friends. The aspect of playing in the rains or even moving very close to hilly areas should be avoided. It is even deplorable because when this disaster strikes with these children involved, the army rescue team get to the scene late. It is therefore a collective responsibility of parents and children to practice self-discipline and keep themselves safe from danger and sudden deaths.
Self-discipline and vigilance should be the watchwords. One of Cameroon's main teachers' union, the Cameroon Teachers Trade Union, CATU, is 20 years old. At a time when most people are rather suspicious of trade unionists, whom they accuse of using their unions for personal gains, can CATU pretend that they have a reason to celebrate? Ranibel Sato has been tracing their balance sheet. Let's listen to her findings, at the end of which you will make a judgment if there was need for a plutonium jubilee for cattle after all.
The trade union created to advocate for the rights and privileges of mostly the English-speaking teachers started its activities in 2006 in Bamenda after the Cameroon Public Service Union CAPSU failed to look into the specific grievances of teachers. CATU, as called in short, the Cameroon Teachers Trade Union within the years has employed multiple means and tactics to get the government and other stakeholders listen and bow to most of their demands, mainly geared towards fostering the working conditions of teachers and maintaining the place of the Anglo-Saxon educational subsystem. The union has grown from initiating strikes to negotiating and lobbying, thus winning government admiration, besides her tremendous contributions to nation building. A top government official once quoted CATU as one of the top trade unions in Cameroon that has remained standing tall despite government infringements. For its 20 years of existence, CATU has been able to record some remarkable achievements, especially in education and its facilities, resources and structures. Due to pressure from CATU and their stance in the fight for the preservation of the Anglophone system of education, the government of Cameroon yielded to their demand for the creation of the second cycle of the Higher Technical Teachers Training College, Bamenda. Because of CATU's activities as well, teachers now receive various professional allowances such as dues for teaching, evaluation, research and documentation. CATU has equally been involved in numerous volunteer actions around the region to foster education as a means of sustainable development. An example of such volunteer activities is their contribution, mobilization and construction of a two-classroom structure in a village in Wum, Menchum Division, where pupils and teachers study and learn conducively, unlike the makeshift structure it had before. The Teachers Trade Union is brazen up to celebrate its 20 years of existence and active advocacy come September 30, 2016, where they equally plan to reveal their vision on the management and financing of education in Cameroon.
Vanibor Satu, they're tracing the history and achievements of CATU. Tassan Wilfred is the executive Secretary General of CATU. He now hints on some of the highlights of the anniversary celebration.
The major highlights will be the finals of the Zenith CATU Platinum Tournament that will be played on the 29th of September at GTHS Bamenda, the one called, popularly called Canada. And then on the 30th, we will have a great congregation of teachers at the Bamenda Congress Hall. We expect in attendance the Minister of Secondary Education, great personalities like His Eminence Christian Cardinal Tumi, the moderator of the PCC, and the Grand Imam of the Bamenda Mosque, and other great charismatic pastors in the city of Bamenda. We'll come together to pray, to join teachers, pray for the nation. We'll be praying for peace and national unity. And thereafter, the union will unveil what it has put together as a proposition concerning the management and the financing of education in Cameroon.
You are celebrating this anniversary just a few years after the passing away into glory of the pioneer Executive Secretary General of CATU. I'm talking about Quenty Simon. Is there any special tribute that we pay to him?
When you talk about CATU in celebrating 20 years, 16 of those years were under Quenty Simon. So when you are cataloging CATU's achievements, all what we have as achievements today were under him. So in fact, the whole issue is about Quenty Simon. When you are talking of achievements, you are talking Quenty Simon. Because since we took over, we have not scored any remarkable goal that you want to portray, you want to celebrate. So we are celebrating his achievements, and therefore we are celebrating Quenty Simon.
And any special appeal to the teachers as we are just about a week, a few days to this anniversary?
Our appeal to them is for teachers to mobilize and to make the event, give the event the magnitude that it deserves, because it's going to be an opportunity for us to showcase our strength as far as numbers are concerned. You know, we have advocates that we are undertaking, and popular strength is a deciding factor on whether you win or you lose.
We of News Extra want to wish a happy anniversary to Katu after all. Let's get this short transition, after which Lem Sandra Fomujang shall be reading the letters dropped into our mailbox this week. The first letter is from Brandon Tanjong of Cow Street. Let's get his concern.
News Extra. I am concerned about the amount of money and resources put into booster the health sector in Cameroon. Every day on the news, it is either seminars that bring in different people from various countries, hold health meetings, or a lot of money is being pumped to improve upon the health services. With all of these, I don't even see any improvements as far as healthcare services are concerned in our country. As days go by, things get worse in our hospitals, especially with state-owned health institutions. I keep wondering if all these seminars are real or simply a child's play, because nothing seems to be changing. To me, it is just a waste of time.
George Atto of Mancho Street, like many others, is not happy with the electricity supply company.
Greetings to you. The electricity services in Cameroon are so deplorable, and I really feel disgruntled and angry at NEO. It is either we have unusual power cuts or you will hear of short-circuiting, which of course will burn down buildings. Worst of all is that at the end of the month, you get huge bills for less or inefficient consumption and services. I really plead that the government intervenes and solve the problem of Cameroonians.
And Leslie Anambi of Fontra Street is happy that Cameroon is hosting Africa's biggest football jamborees.
Hi, News Extra. I am so excited. The upcoming AFCON games are to be hosted by Cameroon in 2016 and 2019, respectively. Because of these, a lot of construction and renovation work has been done and is still going on in the country, especially with the Ministry of Transport emphasizing on the maintenance of roads and transport vehicles. I just wish this largesse and emphasis too could be brought and laid in Bamenda, because this town really needs serious redemption.
Serious redemption. Keep the letters coming on email radio.foundation@yahoo.com, radio.foundation@yahoo.com. Call us or text us on any of the following numbers: 672-53-3990 or 695-56-8480. And the News Extra team shall be at your service. How did colleagues of the print media capture news happenings of the week? Staffman Wunjad Leslie, perused through some of the publications and has this summary.
We start our weekly press review with the Horizon newspaper, where we read that President Paul Biya will give an account of his governance to God, says Cardinal Christian Tumi. According to Cardinal Tumi, Cameroon should move towards federalism with several federated states, and a transition period of 3 years should be realized with the condition that the head of state elected by the transition does not run for the presidential elections at the end of his term. We now take you over to the Guardian Post newspaper, where we read that three people have been shortlisted on President Paul Biya's table to replace Prime Minister Philemon Yang. Among these three proposed names reportedly on President Paul Biya's table are former Secretary of State Shea Jones Iyembe from the Northwest Region, Cameroon's Ambassador to the Democratic Republic of Congo, Chungong Ayafo Martin from the Northwest Region, and one of the ministers of special duties at the presidency, Mengot Are Victor from the Southwest Region. The paper records that rumors of Philemon Yang's imminent sacking intensifies when he was denied the usual airport audience by President Paul Biya, who was taking off to Europe for his brief stay. And when Biya changed his mind about Prime Minister Yang, who was already packing his bags and baggage to represent President Paul Biya at the Tokyo International Conference of African Development. The Horizon newspaper records that the founder of the defunct party, the L'Alliance Liberale, Celestin Bendigui, says only the South region seems to be the privileged place of the major state investment, making it a regional imbalance. The Guardian Post newspaper says there are fears over the imminent francophonization of the GCE board. On to this human interest story on the Eden newspaper. The catechist of the Roman Catholic Church, Banga Bakundu, is reported to have chopped off three fingers of a suspected thief he met in his farm. The said man of God is reported to have gone red when he entered his farm and met with an unwanted guest. We end this week's press review with a feature story from the Guardian Post. Women sometimes put on some annoying attitudes that upset men without knowing. What are some of these annoying attitudes by women that upset men? Get the answer from the Guardian Post newspaper. First, when you as a woman constantly remove your mirror from your handbag in public and start giving touch-ups to your makeup, though the man may not talk about it, it irritates him. Secondly, too much perfume on a woman also irritates a man. Lastly, when you like seeking for notice with your body language, behavior, or clothes, he may not feel comfortable, though he may never admit that. Those are some of the major events which caught the attention of the papers this week. Get the rendezvous next week on what the papers will have to say.
Rendezvous taken, Wonja Leslie. Let's end this edition of the program with our ratings of the week in our scoreboard page, in which Lanza Vela evaluates some deeds and misdeeds.
On this edition of News Extra, we score low the Minister of Youth and Civic Education, Mununa Fotso, for appointing a dead man to a post of responsibility. The Minister of Youth and Civic Education recently appointed heads of the Multifunctional Centers for Youth Development. On the ministerial organization, Bayang Jackie Pierre Paul was appointed chief of Ndokula Multifunctional Center, even though he died almost a year ago. Unsurprisingly, the minister just followed in the footsteps of the President of the Republic, Paul Biya, and the other ministers who are accustomed to appointing the dead in different positions to serve the nation. We score the minister extremely low for such a gaffe. And we score the Douala City Council high for its initiative to make available a total of 250 state-of-the-art taxis for transportation purposes in the city. Recently ranked by a U.S. organization as 9th of the least friendly cities in the world, the economic metropolis wants to take advantage of the upcoming Women's AFCON to attract tourists, especially foreigners. The move comes at a time when the Minister of Transport has signed an order banning old township taxis from circulating in the city. The council provided taxis will provide some comfort to visitors that will fly into Cameroon to witness the tournament, which called the Douala State Council very, very high.
That evaluation from La Anzalvela happens to be the last report in this edition of News Extra. Contributions also came from Christopher Fogwe, Randy Joe Saa, Wonja Leslie, Priscilla Ninge, Ranibel Sato, and Lem Sandra Fomujang. Technical authority was assured by Lawrence Saxon and Tendong Julius. Well, it is not the men in your life that counts. It is the life in your men. Same time next week, I am yours, Mokun Johnny Nelson. Accept my blessed regards.